Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. And before I begin today, I want to make a program note again for those who are in everyday time. I mean, you might be listening to this in 2025, but for those on October the 8th, 2018, I've just discovered that when I upload these tapes or these audios in the evening, there are more listeners, there are more people available. I don't know why I didn't think of that before. So if this is a little bit late for a Monday for you, it's because I am deliberately now going to be uploading in the evening. So this looks like a Tuesday offering, but really I uploaded it on Monday evening. I'm recording it in the morning, but in the evening I'll put it up there. So be looking for that and that little bit of a change. And it looks like there are more listeners. We're glad to invite you to look around the website. Thank you for being with me. I hope that you'll come back and you'll just find a lot of good stuff on this site. And I don't say it because most of it I didn't write. Most of it is somebody else's stuff. And with permission or because it's in the public domain, I read these things to God's people. We're doing David Brainerd now. We're about to close up part five, which is from Brainerd's beginning to instruct the Indians at Conemaugh to his ordination. And if you're just jumping into part five, you're going to find it a little bit difficult to understand all of this. I hope that you'll go back to part one as some of the explanations we had to make about Brother Brainerd. He's not your ordinary Christian man at all, as you will discover just by jumping in right now. Well, we're in 1743, or is it 1744 by now? Yeah, it's 1744. It's the Lord's Day, but before that, the 2 days before that, he went no further than Salisbury, it says. This is Jonathan Edwards putting comments in here. And then we'll actually have the words of Brainerd for the most part. He was much hindered by the rain, and when he came there, he was much indisposed. He speaks of comfortable and profitable conversation with Christian friends on these days. Now, this is Brainerd speaking on Lord's Day, March 18, at Salisbury. Was exceeding weak and faint, so that I could scarce walk. But God was pleased to afford me much freedom, clearness, and fervency in preaching. I've not had the like assistance in preaching to sinners for many months past. Here another messenger met me and informed me of the vote of another congregation to give me an invitation to come along among them upon probation for settlement. Was somewhat exercised in mind with a weight and burden of care. Oh, that God would send forth faithful laborers into his harvest. Edward speaks now. After this, he went forward on his journey toward New York and New Jersey, in which he proceeded slowly, performing his journey under great degrees of bodily indisposition. However, he preached several times by the way, being urged by friends, in which he had considerable assistance. He speaks of comfort in conversation with Christian friends from time to time, of various things in the exercises and frames of his heart that show much of a divine influence on his mind in this journey, but yet complains of the things that he feared, namely a decline of his spiritual life or vivacity in religion by means of his constant removal from place to place, and want of retirement, and getting alone by himself. And he complains bitterly of his unworthiness, deadness. He came to New York on Wednesday, March 28, and to Elizabethtown on the Saturday following, where it seems he waited until the commissioners came together. Thursday, April 5, was again much exercised with weakness and with pain in my head. Attended on the commissioners in their meeting, resolved to go on still with the Indian affair, if divine providence permitted, although I had before felt some inclination to go to East Hampton, where I was solicited to go. Edwards. Now, after this, he continued 2 or 3 days in the Jerseys, very ill, then returned to New York, and from thence into New England, went to his native town of Haddam, where he arrived on Saturday, April 14. I'm calling it Haddam now. It's probably Haddam to us. He continues still his bitter complaints of want of retirement, being alone. While he was in New York, he says thus, "Oh, it is not the pleasures of the world can comfort me. If God deny his presence, what are the pleasures of the city to me? 1 hour of sweet retirement where God is better than the whole world." And he continues to complain of his ignorance, meanness, and unworthiness. However, he speaks of some seasons of special assistance and divine sweetness. He spent some days among his friends at East Hampton and Millington. Tuesday, April 17, rode to Millington again. Felt perplexed when I set out. I was feeble in body, weak in faith. I was going to preach a lecture. Feared I should never have assistance enough to get through. But, contriving to ride alone at a distance from the company that was going, I spent the time in lifting up my heart to God. Had not gone far before my soul was abundantly strengthened with those words, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" I went on, confiding in God, fearing nothing so much as self-confidence. In this frame, I went to the house of God and enjoyed some assistance. Afterwards, felt the spirit of love and meekness in conversation with some friends. Then rode home to my brothers, and in the evening, singing hymns with friends, my soul seemed to melt, and in prayer afterwards enjoyed the exercise of faith and was enabled to be fervent in spirit. Found more of God's presence than I have done any time in my late wearisome journey. Eternity appeared very near. My nature was very weak, seemed ready to be dissolved. The sun declining, the shadows of the evening drawing on apace. Oh, I longed to fill up the remaining moments all for God. Though my body was so feeble and wearied with preaching and much private conversation, yet I wanted to sit up all night to do something for God. To God, the giver of these refreshments, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wednesday, April 18, was very weak. Enjoyed but little spiritual comfort. Was exercised with one who cavilled against original sin. May the Lord open his eyes to see the fountain of sin in himself. After this he visited several ministers in Connecticut. Then he travelled towards Conomic. Came to Mr. Sargent's at Stockbridge Thursday, April 26. He performed this journey in a very weak state of body. The things he speaks of, appertaining to the frames and exercises of his mind, are at some times deadness and want of spiritual comfort, at other times resting in God, spiritual sweetness in conversation, engagedness in meditation on the road, assistance in preaching, rejoicing to think that so much more of his work was done, and he so much nearer to the eternal world. And he once and again speaks of a sense of great ignorance, spiritual pollution, and so forth. Friday, Saturday, April 27 and 28. Spent some time in visiting friends and discoursing with my people, who were now moved down from their own place to Mr. Sargent's. I found them very glad to see me returned. Was exercised in my mind with a sense of my own unworthiness. Lord's Day, April 29. I preached for Mr. Sargent both parts of the day from Revelation 14:4. These are they which were not defiled, and so on. Enjoyed some freedom in preaching, though not much spirituality. In the evening, my heart was in some measure lifted up in thankfulness to God for any assistance. Monday, April 30. Rode to Conomic, but was extremely ill. Did not enjoy the comfort I hoped for in my own house. Tuesday, May 1, having received new orders to a number of Indians on Delaware River in Pennsylvania, and my people here being mostly removed to Mr. Sargent's, I this day took all my clothes, books, and so on, and disposed of them, and set out for Delaware River, but made it my way to return to Mr. Sargent's, which I did this day just at night. I rode several hours in the rain, through the howling wilderness, although I was so disordered in body that little or nothing but blood came from me. Edwards says he continued at Stockbridge the next day, and on Thursday rode a little way to Sheffield, under a great degree of illness, but with encouragement and cheerfulness of mind under his fatigues. On Friday he rode to Salisbury, continued there until after the Sabbath. He speaks of his soul's being, some part of this time, refreshed in conversation with some Christian friends about their heavenly home and their journey thither. At other times he speaks of himself as exceedingly perplexed with barrenness and deadness, and he has this exclamation, "Oh, that time should pass with so little done for God!" On Monday he wrote to Sharon. He speaks of himself as distressed at the consideration of the misimprovement of time. In other words, he hadn't spent time properly. Tuesday, May 8th, set out from Sharon in Connecticut, traveled about 45 miles to a place called the Fish Kill, and lodged there. And spent much of my time, while riding, in prayer, that God would go with me to Delaware. My heart sometimes was ready to sink with the thoughts of my work, and going alone in the wilderness, I knew not where, but still it was comfortable to think that others of God's children had wandered about in caves and dens of the earth, and Abraham, when he was called to go forth, went out not knowing whither he went. Oh, that I might follow after God. The next day he went forward on his journey, crossed Hudson's River, went to Goshen in the Highlands, and so traveled across the woods from Hudson's River to Delaware, about 100 miles, through a desolate and hideous journey above New Jersey, where were very few settlements, in which journey he suffered much fatigue and hardship. He visited some Indians in the way, and discoursed with them concerning Christianity, was considerably melancholy and disconsolate, being alone in a strange wilderness. On Saturday he came to a settlement of Irish and Dutch people, about 12 miles above the forks of Delaware. Lord's Day, May 13. Rose early, he says, felt very poorly after my long journey, and after being wet and fatigued. Was very melancholy. Have scarce even seen such a gloomy morning in my life. There appeared to be no Sabbath. The children were all at play. I, a stranger in the wilderness, knew not where to go, and all circumstances seemed to conspire to render my affairs dark and discouraging. I was disappointed respecting an interpreter. I heard that the Indians were much scattered, and so on. Oh, I mourned after the presence of God. I seemed like a creature banished from his sight. Yet he was pleased to support my sinking soul amidst all my sorrows, so that I never entertained any thought of quitting my business among the poor Indians, but was comforted to think that death would ere long set me free from these distresses. Rode about 3 or 4 miles to the Irish people, where I found some that appeared sober and concerned about religion, sober meaning serious. I know what you're thinking about the Irish here. My heart then began to be a little encouraged. Went and preached first to the Irish and then to the Indians, and in the evening was a little comforted. My soul seemed to rest on God and take courage. Oh, that the Lord would be my support and comforter in an evil world. Monday, May 14, was very busy in some necessary studies. Felt myself very loose from all the world. Everything appeared, vanity and vexation of spirit. Seemed lonesome and disconsolate, as if I were banished from all mankind and bereaved of all that is called pleasurable in the world. But appeared to myself so vile and unworthy, it seemed fitter for me to be here than anywhere. Tuesday, May 15. Still much engaged in my studies, and enjoy more health than I have for some time past, but was sometimes dejected in spirit with a sense of my meanness. seemed as if I could never do anything at all to any good purpose by reason of ignorance and folly. Oh, that a sense of these things might work more habitual humility in my soul! He continued much in the same frame the next day. Thursday, May 17, was this day greatly distressed with a sense of my vileness. Appeared to myself too bad to walk on God's earth, or to be treated with kindness by any of his creatures. God was pleased to let me see my inward pollution and corruption to such a degree that I almost despaired of being made holy. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In the afternoon, I met with the Indians, according to appointment, and preached to them. And while writing to them, my soul seemed to confide in God. Afterwards had some relief and enlargement of soul in prayer, and some assistance in the duty of intercession. Vital piety and holiness appeared sweet to me, and I longed for the perfection of it. Friday, May 18, felt again something of the sweet spirit of religion, and my soul seemed to confide in God that he would never leave me. But oftentimes I saw myself so mean a creature that I knew not how to think of preaching. By the way, the word mean here is lowly, not what you're thinking. It's lowly. He thinks himself lowly. Oh, that I could always live to and upon God. Saturday, May 19, was some part of the time greatly oppressed with the weight and burden of my work. It seemed impossible for me ever to go through with the business that I had undertaken. Towards night was very calm and comfortable. I think my soul trusted in God for help. Lord's Day, May 20, I preached twice to the poor Indians and enjoyed some freedom in speaking while I attempted to remove their prejudices against Christianity. My soul longed for assistance from above all the while, for I saw I had no strength sufficient for that work. Afterwards, preached to the Irish people. I was much assisted in the first prayer and something in sermon. Several persons seemed much concerned for their souls, with whom I discoursed afterwards with much freedom and some power. Blessed be God for any assistance afforded to an unworthy worm. Oh, that I could live to him. Through the remainder of this week, he was sometimes ready to sink with a sense of his unworthiness and unfitness for the work of the ministry. Sometimes encouraged and lifted above his fears and sorrows, was enabled confidently to rely on God. Especially on Saturday towards night, he enjoyed calmness and composure and assistance in prayer to God. He rejoiced that God remains unchangeably powerful and faithful, a sure and sufficient portion and the dwelling place of his children in all generations. Lord's Day, May 27. Visited my Indians in the morning and attended upon a funeral among them. Was affected, that is, emotionally had a problem with seeing their heathenish practices. Oh, that they might be turned from darkness to light. Afterwards got a considerable number of them together and preached to them, observed them very attentive. After this, preached to the white people from Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I was enabled to speak with some freedom and power. Several people seemed much concerned for their souls, especially one who had been educated a Roman Catholic. Blessed be the Lord for any help. Monday, May 28, I set out from the Indians above the Forks of Delaware on a journey towards Newark in New Jersey, according to my orders, rode through the wilderness, was much fatigued with the heat, lodged at a place called Black River, was exceedingly tired and worn out. On Tuesday, he came to Newark. The next day, he went to Elizabethtown. Thursday, he went to New York. Friday, back to Elizabethtown. These days were spent in some perplexity of mind. He continued at Elizabethtown till Friday, the next week following. Was enlivened, refreshed, and strengthened on the Sabbath at the Lord's table. The ensuing days of the week were spent chiefly in studies preparatory to his ordination, and on some of them he seemed to have much of God's gracious presence and of the sweet influences of God's Spirit, but was in a very weak state of body. On Saturday, he rode to Newark. Lord's Day, June 10, at Newark in the morning, was much concerned how I should perform the work of the day, trembled at the thoughts of being left to myself, enjoyed very considerable assistance in all parts of the public service, had an opportunity again to attend on the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and through divine goodness was refreshed in it. My soul was full of love and tenderness towards the children of God and towards all men, felt a certain sweetness of disposition towards every creature. At night I enjoyed more spirituality and sweet desire of holiness than I have felt for some time, was afraid of every thought and every motion, lest thereby my heart should be drawn away from God. Oh, that I might never leave the blessed God! Lord, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, the blessedness of living to God! Monday, June 11. This day the presbytery met together at Newark in order to my ordination. I was very weak and disordered in body, yet I endeavored to repose my confidence in God. Spent most of the day alone, especially the forenoon. At 3 in the afternoon, preached my probation sermon from Acts 26, verses 17 and 18, where it says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles," being a text given me for that end. I felt not well, either in body or mind. However, God carried me through comfortably. Afterwards passed an examination before the presbytery. Was much tired, and my mind burdened with the greatness of that charge I was in the most solemn manner about to take upon me. My mind was so pressed with the weight of the work incumbent upon me that I could not sleep this night, though very weary and great need of rest. Tuesday, June 12, was this morning further examined, respecting my experimental acquaintance with Christianity. At 10 o'clock my ordination was attended, the sermon preached by the Reverend Mr. Pemberton. At this time I was affected with a sense of the important trust committed to me, yet was composed and solemn without distraction. And I hope that then, as many times before, I gave myself up to God, to be for him and not for another. Oh, that I might always be engaged in the service of God, and duly remember the solemn charge I have received in the presence of God, angels, and men. Amen. May I be assisted of God for this purpose. Towards night, I rode to Elizabethtown. That's where chapter, or part 5, ends. We'll pick up from his ordination next time until he began first to preach to the Indians at Crosswicksung, among whom he had his most remarkable success. So it'll be a new tribe next time. Part 6. Thank you for joining with me today. I trust that you'll do it again. And before you do it again, before you leave now, look around the website. I think you'll find some good stuff. I do hope you will. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.